Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Baby Steps. Today, you asked, we are going to answer. babystepsadvice@gmail.com. Write them in, folks. We've got a bunch of questions about babies, parents, parenting, random, and we're going to answer it. Let's get into it. Ariel, question.
Yes.
How long should we allow parents to stay with us during postpartum after first baby? From Amanda. Hi, Fulmers. Love the pod. Thanks, Amanda. Currently, we are pregnant. She just said pregnant. It was me that changed it. Pregat.
For those of you who have not seen that old YouTube video.
A gornant aunt.
What should they look up?
I think just look up how to get pregornant aunt.
It's so funny.
Yahoo Answers. Currently, we are pregnant with our first baby and our parents slash in-laws are asking us how long we would like them to stay after the birth of our first child so they can plan accordingly. We'd appreciate any advice on this topic since we live out of state away from family and we have no frame of reference for how long we may need their assistance after the birth of our baby. Also, is there any prep I should do to have longer term house guests?
Oh, great question.
I love how the little aside is actually a very big question. Great topic. We also have parents who live out of town.
Uh-huh. Yep. So first answer here is how much do you like your in-laws slash parents? Because that's going to make a really big difference. The way that we feel about having parents in town, it had a lot to, so we now have two kids and with the first one, it was tough having our parents there because we didn't really have a good place for them to stay.
Yes.
Right. But we needed the help. We desperately needed the help and
they were all up in our business, but we needed the help so badly.
We needed the help so bad and we had no idea how to take care of a child and they were great. And so, you know, it was a tough situation because we were living on top of each other, not getting any sleep, but we wanted them there so badly.
Yeah. I'll say that is one of the things that single-handedly improved my relationship with my in-laws.
Right.
Is
having kids.
Mm-hmm. You know, a weekend with in-laws went from, okay, this will be kind of fun. Not my family, I guess. So you kind of feel a little uncomfortable, right? Maybe you have your guard up. Now, suddenly it's, you mean I get to sleep in and hang out and someone will play with the baby and I can read a book? My God.
Amazing.
Yes. Do you want to stay for longer?
Exactly. So we literally built a guest house because we liked having our parents and in-laws there so much because they are so helpful with kids. Mm-hmm. But you really have to, it's not just a question of like, how long should they stay? You know, we can't just say, oh, 2 weeks, obviously. You know, it's the sort of thing where if you love having your parents around or if you, you know, really like your in-laws, then absolutely have them stay for as long as you want. You know, like if you're...
Well, they're going to go to college at some point.
Well, yeah, fair.
No, I would say like around 6 weeks is the time when you start to kind of get your bearings, right? So during those first 6 weeks, it's really pretty tough and you're going to need a lot of help. Now, 6 weeks is a very long time to have people staying with you. So I think for the first child, we kind of broke it into maybe like 3 weeks and 3 weeks, something like that.
Or even 2 weeks. And
2 weeks. 2 weeks, 2 weeks.
And then we had a week off and then 2 weeks and then we had a week off.
But I think 3 weeks in general is a pretty good amount of time where you'll feel like 1 week or 2 weeks is hardly, you know, it'll be over before you know it.
Time goes by so fast because you're, you know, especially in those first 6 weeks, your sleeping is very strange and it's off. And so, you know, one of the things that I really, really appreciated having parents around for was, you know, because I was breastfeeding, I was handling, you know, a lot of the like nighttime feedings, right? Mm-hmm. And so being able to hand off the baby in the middle of the day, and you know, for Ned too, like, cause you don't just sleep through like a baby crying at night, you know? So it's not like Ned was sleeping through the night either. And so, you know, we needed those daytime naps to kind of, you know, be there for our toddler and like be better parents. And just be present, you know?
And even, you know, now that they're a little older, I mean, it can still be like that, like you can get refreshed. Like my mom will be in there 6:15. I can wake up, like knock on her door, sleepily hand over a baby and then go back to bed. And it's great. I mean, it's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's when your mom was here. So Ned's mom was here for...
Two weeks.
And we got used to having a little bit of extra sleep in the morning.
You mean we slept till 8 some days?
Oh my God.
I mean, she was just playing with
Wes and
Finn,
holding it down. With both
holding
kids.
It down. Oh my goodness.
Making French toast. And Ned and I wake up and we're like, good Lord, I have to go to work. Like, I don't think that's ever happened where I've woken up and I've been like, I'm going to be late for work.
For work.
Normally it's 5:30 a.m. and I'm like, I have four hours
before I'm able to start working.
Yeah. My body was in such a weird place with all that extra sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer
is, works for you.
Is about 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, 2-3 weeks, I think, even with the extra help, you might start feeling the,
and
you know, it's just not normally in your space. It can be.
And things to do to prepare tough. To have people in your space.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot going on. There's going to be a lot of sleeping in different places. You're going to be sleeping on the couch. You're going to be sleeping on the floor. Mm-hmm. You're going to be sleeping wherever you possibly can. So, you know, and also with the hormones of like postpartum and the stress and just sort of mom jitters of being a first-time mom, at least for me, I found it very difficult to have a lot of people telling me what to do, you know, and having a bunch of different people with different ideas for how to parent my child. Mm-hmm. You know, I was going off
love
of,
the help, didn't like the advice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the sort of thing where like, I just want to sit here and be with my baby and feed them as I feel they need to be fed, you know, and then hear somebody saying, oh, you know, I really think that they're tired now. I think you should put them to sleep. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, like we both have our differing opinions and I don't want to have this conversation right now. So, so I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And that's it.
You know, if you have a space, maybe you have a garage, maybe you own a home, take out a second mortgage.
No,
and turn
don't
your
take out a second mortgage.
No, seriously. Borrow some money, turn that garage into living space.
Figure out a way to give the people staying there, you know, because they're not staying as guests right now. You know, they're
staying as roommates.
They're
basically.
They're basically staying as roommates.
They're giving them their own space to, you know, they can make a coffee themselves in the morning or like, you know, I don't know if you have a little TV put in the guest room or whatever, wherever they're staying, but like having the ability to maybe they can watch the TV show they want to watch. And
you can watch the TV
watch
show that you,
show you
want
to
watch.
Or
well, the other thing to think about is I feel like before kids, when our parents would come to visit, they were there to hang out with us and they were there. And so we felt the need to entertain them.
And that's kind of can be exhausting. That's sort of what
completely exhausting.
What I'm speaking of when I'm like, oh, okay, in-laws are coming.
Yeah. Right. Completely exhausting because you feel like you need to be with them at every moment.
Yeah.
And what you want to create is a space for them where they can be alone and you can be alone, because they are there to take care of you and to take care of your family. Mm-hmm. At least, you know, in this question, I assume that's the situation. And so make it a comfortable space for them to be able to take care of you, you mm-hmm. know, like make it so that it's easy for your mom to like cook you a meal.
And they may not even know what you need help with, and you might be too tired to tell them, but they're usually down to help out with whatever. You just need to let them know.
Yeah.
So if it's like
laundry,
just be very clear when you're talking about what would be most helpful, rather than being like, oh, it would be great if, you know, somebody took out this overflowing garbage. You can be like, hey, can you please do this or whatever?
Yeah, whatever be proactive. Even that's something that we sort of learned after the fact is like, you know, even though they're your parents, you know,
they can't read your mind.
They can't read your mind. Like they are there to help you. So
and your
let
partner
them,
and you might have
let
like
them
a,
help you.
Yeah, let them help you. You might have a shorthand over, you know, years mm-hmm. of living with each other or certain understanding of roles and responsibilities. Right. Well, when a baby comes, that's all going to be thrown out the window because you're going to have, you know, not enough hours in the day.
So much more trash.
That the your parents in laws might not know what you need. So mm-hmm. go for it.
Yeah, and I know that we have more questions to get to, but there's also different parenting styles. Mm-hmm. You know, your parents may have parented you different than you plan to parent your kids.
Right.
And so you need to be very clear on the outset that like this is what we're doing. You know. We don't want you to do this, and we don't want you to do this, you know.
Next question. I've got a biter.
Oh boy.
Carly writes, hello Fulmers, love your pod. I have an 18-month-old daughter who bites.
Oh,
that's really it. She bites when she's mad, bites when she's hungry, bites when she's tired. We have a lot of incident reports from daycare of her biting other kids, sometimes provoked, but usually not. Wow.
Sometimes provoked.
Any advice on how to get her to do something else when she's feeling big feelings? She's strong-willed, but my shoulders are kind of tired from being bruised from her bites. Let me know what you think. That's tough.
Did we have a biter? Wes was never really
time,
that bad.
There were a couple times where he would bite you or pull your hair.
Mm-hmm. Just big feelings. That's totally a thing with like that 18 month to 2.5 years. Like just big, big feelings and not knowing what to do with those feelings.
The general rule of thumb from toddler books that we've read is, you know, kind of take a moment to stop the behavior if it's, you know, dangerous or if it's hurting someone, right? Like immediately stop it.
Right.
By saying no or stop or whatever.
Distracting them with something else. You know, that's a big one is if you have a toddler that has some really big feelings and doesn't know how to express those feelings, you know, take them out of the situation first, you know, by distracting them with something. So instead of, you know, yelling or using a lot of words to say like that really, to like try to explain to them that that really hurts me and that sort of thing. Cause that's what I go to, when I feel the need to like discipline my toddler is I use a lot of words and I say,
sure, cause we're adults. We resolve things through talking.
And so I
but
say like,
them,
please
when
don't do that.
In a very emotional state, words are just like, blah, 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 blah.
Right. Exactly. And so removing them from the situation and like, treating what is actually happening in their brain, you know? So like you said, they bite when they are tired or hungry or something like that, you know, feed them or give them a nap and then talk about the biting, you know?
Yes. The one point about distraction though is, you don't want to ignore, your kids' feelings, right? If you're immediately going to a distraction or trying to redirect them, you're skipping the step of kind of emotionally connecting with them, understanding their feelings, right? So I remember there was one book that we read that talked about it like a fast food order. Right. It was like, I'm so mad. And you say, you're so mad. You know, when you go to McDonald's, you're like, I want a quarter pounder with cheese. They say,
you want a quarter pounder,
you
want
a quarter pounder with cheese.
Yeah. You like repeat you what they're saying.
No, you don't want fries with that. Yeah.
And like assure them that you have heard what they're saying and that you hear what they're feeling.
Repeating what they're saying and kind of getting like physically getting down to their level and kind of helping them work through things by saying what they're saying and not necessarily saying like, ah, you want a quarter pounder with cheese? Well, beef comes from cows.
Yeah, let me tell you what's on that quarter pounder with cheese.
The cheese comes from cheddar, which is you know, like don't use too many
words. Yeah.
Oh, Wes wants trucks. Wes wants trucks. And after you've kind of connected with them emotionally, then you can pivot and redirect towards, well, and we can't play with trucks right now because it's bedtime, but why don't we read a story about trucks?
Right.
Let's do truck story.
Let's do trucks. Yeah, let's read. Let's tell a story about trucks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So affirming what it is that they are feeling and then redirecting that feeling to something else. And also kind of solving the problem.
If there's an underlying,
if there's an underlying issue. Yeah, exactly.
Tired, hungry.
So if you have, if you're.
It doesn't always work.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, here we are.
It absolutely does not always work.
Talking from our podcast mountain of big gods of good behavior, but that doesn't always work. My heart goes out to you.
Yeah. No, I can't tell you how many times
we have
this
definitely
has
also been bitten.
Not worked for us.
And had things screamed at us or thrown at us.
Oh,
but that is the
kicking for me. It's like you've got a biter, I've got a kicker.
Mm-hmm.
Like
soccer boy,
I guess. Yeah, I have actually started to say like kicking is for the soccer field, Wesley. Mm. You do not kick people,
right?
Like you do not kick me. You do not kick your brother. Like this is not okay.
Yeah,
because but you know, like when he kicks me,
even that's maybe too many words.
Yeah, it probably is too many words. I told you,
like, no kick.
That's my problem.
No kick.
No kick. No kick.
No kick.
Like, that's my problem is I use too many words. I say, you know, what I need to do is say, no kicking. And then say, I know you're tired. So let's go read a book or something like that. Because he's normally kicking me because either he needs attention or because he's tired.
Right.
Like, that's it.
Yeah. It's easy but when you talk about it in an armchair.
I am sorry
but when you're
about your biter.
In these trenches.
We haven't had the experience yet of like having, because Wes doesn't have any friends. we haven't had the experience yet of a child like hearing from daycare that your child has X problem.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine the things that are going to come back from preschool.
Oh,
like,
my God,
you know, your child did this today or your child did this today. That's gotta be so hard.
Yeah. I remember seeing it on a playground where like some other kid, like all kids wear masks on the playground these days, but the kid is like wanting to like do something with Wes or share something. And Wes is like, no, and like runs away.
Oh yeah.
And the kid's dad was like, it's okay. That kid doesn't like you or doesn't want to play. It was like something a little like, I was like, hey, buddy, I mean, come on now. That's not exactly, that's not totally what's going on here. I mean, let's not assign an attribute to this child, but maybe a transient, he is feeling this way in this moment.
It's like, that kid is mean.
That kid's mean. That kid's mean. Like, all right, buddy. Okay. Sure, your kid's great. but here we are. Everyone's trying to.
We're all just doing our best here.
Just doing our best. I don't think he's innately mean. Maybe he's being mean in this moment, and I'm intervening. So, okay. Also, we are here first.
I don't think that. But also, we were here first.
But whatever it was, it's like a dad that was a little like telling his kid like that our kid was not good. And I was like, okay, all right.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Moving on. I could ask you one.
Sure.
Ooh, I love this one. Chef asking for food advice. Mm. Hello, Ariel and Ned. First off, I want to thank you for the thing that is Baby Steps. It is a great service to parents, new and experienced, to hear your stories and hear the advice from experts you invite to discuss the many angles of parenting. That is so nice to say.
Thank you. Thank you. We do try and create a community here at Baby Steps. Mm. So welcome.
We're trying. I'm a chef. And my most recent client has almost no regard to my creations I bring forth to the table. He is also 9 months old with one tooth.
Ah.
Congratulations, one tooth. He loves the fruit, but how can I get my son to eat more things? He hates chicken, but he loves oatmeal with almond butter and dragon fruit. What are your favorite things to cook for Finn and also Wes? Also, do you eat what they eat? Thank you. Anonymously, but sincerely, Jason Bourne.
Big fan, Jason. love your movies, even the one without Matt Damon. Anyways, I mean, here we are, cookbook authors, date night cookbook. We spent years making all these recipes. We got 81 recipes. Check it out, by the way, datenightcookbook.com. Pre-order your copy today. But our son is often suffers from the same issue in that we make these glorious, beautiful meals, and like, "I want butter noodles."
And he wants the specific type of noodle. He wants like the curly noodle, and he wants it with butter on it that he can see.
Mm-hmm.
That's just toddlers. Yeah, have we ever told you this, Miles?
"I want to see if it melts in." He's like, "No."
Like, we make these beautiful meals.
I want a whole ass chunk of butter on there.
He literally,
that's not okay.
I have to put a piece of butter on every single noodle so that he can see the butter on the noodle. If the noodles are too hot and the butter melts, we have to wait for the noodles to get cold so that we can put the butter on the noodle so that he can see it. It's stupid. It's ridiculous.
Not probably a little too much butter.
A little butter
is okay.
And like, we're probably catering to like our crazy toddler. Like, we could just say, "No, eat your noodles."
Maybe
and then
we need
he would
like
be
a
fine.
Sleep intervention, like the way that we did a food intervention, like the way we did sleep.
But
I am heartened because our general philosophy is, he eats what we eat.
That's really
attempt number one.
We
and then
started
if he doesn't,
with that at the beginning.
Yeah.
Is we said, like, okay, we are going to, like, we're having pasta tonight with vegetables. And so here is some pasta with vegetables for you. And he would eat it. You know, like, we started with eggs and spinach in the mornings. And Ned and I would eat eggs and spinach. And we would give Wes some eggs and spinach. And that's just sort of how we did it. And he is a very good eater. Like, he's an adventurous eater. Last night we had Indian food, you know, but similarly, there are just certain things that toddlers don't like.
Didn't want to eat the chicken.
He didn't want to eat the
Indian
chicken.
Food.
Yeah. He didn't want to eat the chicken in the chicken tikka masala. He just wanted to eat the masala.
Yeah.
The chicken tikka masala sauce. He wanted to like spoon
adorable,
the
by
sauce,
the way.
Which is
like
basically butter.
Orange, just his mouth coated with orange masala sauce.
Yeah.
Like, tongue all orange.
Yeah. But like, we offer him what we are eating. And if he doesn't eat that, then that's up to him. But we do ask him to like take bites of things.
And I think once they get to a certain age, you can say, you know, "Hey, you're three now.
Yeah.
You have to try one bite of this."
Mm.
you know, I like
that's something that your mom did with you. She kind of and she also does it with Wes. She's like, okay, you need to take like a bite.
Right. I remember her refrain would be like, how would you know you like chocolate ice cream if you never tried it?
Yeah. This
I was
is
like,
a
great point, Mom. Brussels sprouts still are bad.
But this is a 9-month old, so you can't really reason with them.
No.
So what I have learned, and actually we are going to have a like a food expert on the podcast.
Ooh, how exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting. There are different ways of teaching your baby to eat. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something called baby-led feeding where you offer them certain things and if they like them or don't like them, you know, 9 months is still still very young. And so, yes, offer them food, but if they don't eat it, they're still getting all, if not most of their nutrition from, you know, either formula or breast milk. Mm-hmm. And they will until they are about a year old. Mm-hmm. And so also don't stress out about how much food they're eating. You know, that's one thing that was really difficult for me was, you know, thinking that, oh, my baby's not eating, so they're not getting enough nutrition, mm-hmm. and I'm doing something wrong. But the fact is, like, I was putting pressure on my kid to like, it's my food pressure that I'm putting on them. Yikes. You know, they do not need that pressure to eat. Mm-hmm. They can eat whatever they want. And they'll eat when they're hungry, they'll eat what they like, and mm-hmm. they'll learn by you not pressuring them to eat. They'll learn that food is a fun thing and not like this stressful thing that, oh, I have to eat my entire plate, or, oh, I need to eat like these vegetables and this meat, or else like I'm not eating a balanced meal. Because, you know, your toddler will kind of, this is something that Ned and I sort of had to learn, is that your toddler will eat however much or however little they want. You can't force them to eat anything. That's just the way toddlers are. But you can sort of mold their feelings about food by the food that you eat, and kind of creating an experience around food, like eating together at the table or feeding them the food that you eat.
Yeah.
Anyway. Did I go on a rant?
No. Okay. I mean, it's true. Yeah, I think that's a really great, like, creating good food perspectives mm-hmm. by like eating all around at the table together mm-hmm. and kind of sharing that communal aspect, I think is great. It's, you know, I was more reflecting on our toddler's relationship with food or lack. It's like, it has pretty narrow palate, which is, I think
it certainly
disheartens
seems like it
me
right
sometimes.
Now. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's just because he is a toddler.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he likes what he likes. Yeah. But we also, you know, since Finn has been, you know, a little bit more kind of needy, as he, like, since he's was really young, we've kind of done the easy thing with Wes where we feed him what he likes.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't really been trying to give him new stuff.
Yeah, I think there's probably a degree of separation that you could do, right? If they like one thing, okay, maybe try something a little bit different.
Yeah.
And a little bit different.
Maybe a different sauce.
Like plopping squid in just out of the blue.
Yeah. Just keep introducing fun things to the kid. Mm-hmm. And they'll eat it and they'll get used to it. And, you know, I think that parents can get into this habit of feeding kids the same thing every day.
Or feeding kids meals always.
Right. Or feeding kids meals. Exactly. You know, feeding them things that they think that kids should be eating, like macaroni and cheese or something like that. And the fact is that kids can eat what we're eating. Mm-hmm. You know, barring a couple of things that maybe.
Yeah, maybe not the ghost pepper.
Maybe not the ghost pepper. You know, but and kids can't have honey until they're one. You know, there are just like a few things, there are a few rules and choking hazards, you know, but barring those things, kids can eat what we are eating. Mm. Make it soft for kids that only have one tooth, you know, but like kids can eat solids. They can gum like soft carrots, things like that. Just offer it to them and make sure that you are there with your kids. Never leave your kids alone to eat. That's a big one because, you know, you just got to make sure that they're swallowing and all that sort of thing. Just be safe.
But yeah, get the Date Night Cookbook. There's tons of family recipes. Got food for the whole family. Your child will eat happy and healthy with the Date Night Cookbook. No, but seriously, datenightcookbook.com. Okay, who will watch the baby? Good morning.
I'm excited to hear this.
Good morning, Ariel and or Ned. It's Ned. And
or Miles.
In one of your podcasts, you said the most important thing was to figure out before starting family is who will watch the baby.
Who's the baby?
Who's the baby? I'm not where I want to be with my career, and I'm also concerned if I take 5 years off to raise my child before they start school, that my career may never recover. Mm. My current job offers 12 weeks of maternity leave. That's great. My husband gets 6 weeks paternity leave.
Awesome.
Which I know is more than most, but who will watch our baby after that if I go back to work?
Mm-hmm.
We are 3 hours from the nearest relative. Most child care providers near us don't take small infants.
Whoa.
My husband had a very negative experience with nannies when he was little. Would love if you could have an expert on your show to talk about this dilemma more. If you could share your thoughts with me, if you have time. Thank you for the show. I've been watching Try Guys videos since 2014. Whoa, OG. And I've loved seeing you and your family grow and accomplish so much. Best wishes to the Fulmers. Thanks, Miranda. We appreciate it.
Okay. 12 weeks is great. Awesome. Yes. 6 weeks, also awesome. I mean, this is the question that everybody has to deal with because, yeah, it's really difficult. Kids at that age, there aren't many places that will accept like infants.
Right. In a group setting.
In a group setting.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because they just require too much care. Mm-hmm. You know, so Finn is 6 months now and he's just starting to sit up. He's just starting to like interact with things, interact with toys, eat food. And I feel like that is kind of the age that kids can start going to like a daycare and really thriving there, mm-hmm. you know? Not to say that kids that go earlier don't thrive, but it is more difficult for the people doing the childcare. And so perhaps, yeah, they say like no kids under 6 months or something like that. And so then what do you do?
When does the cutoff start for many places?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just assuming it's around 6 months.
Mm-hmm. I think you can do a couple different things. So one thing we've talked about on the podcast before is we're a big fan of nanny shares. Mm-hmm. It saves on budget and it can be a great way to give your child one or two playmates. Can be kind of hard to arrange because you need to know somebody else who has a kid around the same age. But mm-hmm. if you do, you know, get involved in your local neighborhood groups and Facebook groups, whatever.
Kind of creates that community.
You can maybe meet someone and kind of create that community.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, it's tough because you do have to figure something out.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be either or though, right? You're saying, oh, I don't want to take 5 years off my work.
But maybe you could take 1 year off or something like that.
Right.
Yeah,
or just 6 months rather than 3 months.
It's a tough decision. And, you know, one of the things that one of our friends did, actually, who also only got a certain amount of time off, was she took her maternity leave and her husband kept working. And then her husband took his paternity leave after she went back to work.
Oh, interesting.
So that way you get the 12 weeks plus the 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that it doesn't always work out quite like that, but that way you get a little bit of extra time mm-hmm. with the, you know, without having to deal with this childcare conundrum. Yeah, nanny shares are great because you know, you don't really have to take on the onus of like hiring a nanny and like, you know, having an employee in your house
right.
type of thing. We love our nanny. She's a part of our family. And I don't know what we would do without her. Because yeah, it's like kids under three that aren't going to school or preschool or like daycare. You have to have childcare for them. They need to be watched like all the time. The other thing that you could potentially do is, you know, 3 hours is far, but you could kind of make it more a little bit easier for family to to come in and stay for a little while. Maybe, you know, if it's a matter of getting through like 2 or 3 months before you can get a kid
before you're
into
eligible for organized daycare.
Yeah, exactly. Then there are ways to cobble something together in terms of childcare.
And there also are a lot of like maybe less large daycares that are sort of a hybrid between a nanny share and
like a co-op or a family, like a home-based daycare.
Something a little bit more organized than just bringing your baby over to a stranger's house.
Right.
But that's effectively what it is.
Yeah. I mean, and really, when we aren't really addressing the fact that your husband had a bad experience with nannies.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds difficult. And I can't imagine what that could have been like. Always vetting and really taking the time to trust that the people that you're leaving your kids with is where you want them to be.
I think it starts with your network, right?
Yeah.
Your on the ground parent, friends, online communities like this are great. But when it comes to childcare, the best resources are going to be people in the area where you live. Yes, there are Facebook groups, but then also if, go to like your local mommy and me, like gym classes or movie nights or whatever those kind of offerings are for new parents where you can connect with other people.
Yeah.
Make some friends, get some digits.
with Wes, one of the things that we did, I took a fair amount of time off. I think I took about 4 months off. And we met some friends through like neighbors. I tried to make friends with like moms that were pushing strollers on the street. We live near a library that had like music classes every Tuesday. And so I would try to go to the music classes and I would try to make friends with moms. This leads to a whole nother topic of trying to make mom friends, and like how difficult that is, but kind of, getting yourself out there and kind of reaching out. I think that being a new mom can be very isolating, and reaching out to other people or just being in groups of other moms, you can kind of find out what you can get from that network. Whether it be a nanny recommendation or a nanny share or maybe a co-op situation. There are options out there, especially, if in your area, the most of the daycares aren't taking infants, you are not the only one with this problem. There are going to be other moms with infants that don't have a place to send their kid for childcare. And so you can come up with things together. And that may be your best option.
Next question is aunties and uncles.
Oh,
hey,
I love this.
Ned and Ariel, I love your podcast. I learn a lot and it helps pass the time while I work. How do you feel about friends being referred to as aunts and uncles to your kiddos? What are your thoughts on it? I know there's a lot of mixed feelings, but it has come more acceptable over the years. I mentioned it to my coworkers that my friend refers to me as an auntie to her toddler. My coworkers think it's weird and taking away from the specialness of the title of aunt and uncle for siblings. Hope you guys consider this question for the podcast. Thanks, Molly.
That's a great question because we also refer to people as aunties and uncles.
Yeah. The other Try Guys?
The other Try Guys are uncles.
Uncles.
Well, okay. So
I guess none of us have a brother, so we can't ask them how they feel. But yeah, I wonder how
we have sisters who are aunties. So part of this comes from the fact that there are other cultures that actually just call like other people aunties and uncles. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They don't have to be related by blood. That's just the word that you use for people. You use like tia It's just auntie, mm-hmm. you know, or we have some Filipino friends who just like, it's just auntie, mm-hmm. you know, that's sort of just what you call people that are in your village, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like not your like village literally, but in your child rearing village.
Yeah.
You know, just your friends,
your friend groups.
Yeah. Your friend groups, people that are just around your kid, you call them auntie. Mm-hmm. You call them uncle. But yeah, does it take away from the specialness of your actual like blood relative? Yes and no. So our sisters are very involved in our kids' lives. And I think that Wes and Finn are both very aware that they have a special relationship with our sisters, and that the word that we use for, for like loved ones, doesn't actually mean blood relative.
Yeah.
You know?
I do wonder how our sisters feel about it. I think they're okay with us calling other people aunties.
I think so too. Because they know that their place in our kids' lives is very secure.
Yeah.
You know, that there's no way that Wes would think that, you know, somebody else is like more important than our sisters.
Right.
Because they are so important and they're such a huge part of our kids' lives.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess you would kind of need to ask your siblings.
Yeah.
If they minded.
Yeah.
I personally think it's okay and kind of fun and helps your friends become part of your,
right.
Your child rearing village a bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also indicates to your kids that, like, you know, you have a lot of loved ones, yeah. you know, that these people mean something to us too.
We need like a hybrid name.
Like a Franty?
A Franty? Yeah.
Friend,
yeah, these
auntie?
Are our Franties.
Or a Frunkle?
This is your Frunkle. He's your fun uncle.
He's your fun uncle.
Funkle? Funkle Keith.
I don't know. What do you think that the hybrid name should be?
Auntie. A. Calling friends like a-holes? No. Wait, hold on.
Well, Wes also doesn't call Danielle and Grace, our sisters. Mm-hmm. He doesn't call them Aunt Grace or Aunt Danielle.
He
calls Danielle Nene. Yeah, that's the other thing is like they have special names.
Yeah.
So maybe there's that. Maybe that's a way that you can like solve this problem is you can call everyone auntie and uncle.
Right.
But give the people that
give
really
them a distinct name.
You give them like a really important name like Nene.
Meemaw.
Meemaw. Yeah.
Ham.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You know, give them like a pet
bub,
name.
Bub.
Give them a pet. Give the Peep give pop. Your family members a pet name, and then everybody else can Cuckoo. Be called by the under the umbrella of auntie
yeah,
and uncle.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Get very just like all of our boomer parents wanting like specific,
right?
Grandma.
No, that was what my mom was. Yes. I want to be Gigi.
I want to be Gaga.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Give him a pet name.
All right, next question. I'd love it if I could type, howdy from Texas. Well, you just did. I love y'all and absolutely adore the Baby Steps podcast. We don't have many parent friends, so watching Baby Steps makes me feel like I'm having a glass of wine with other parent friends.
Hey.
Yeah, hey. You know, this comes out on Sunday mornings, but hey. For those of you that wait till Sunday evening and crack open a nice Cabernet, a nice Chardonnay. More like it. Welcome to Baby Steps After Dark.
Oof, I would love this.
Mom's had
actually,
a hard day.
Can we do Baby Steps After Dark?
Oh, yeah.
Bow chicka bow wow. Bow chicka bow.
Our little dude was 7 months and overnight went from Happy Harris to a little wild child. I'm fortunate enough to be able to take him to work with me every day, but this I need mommy is getting nuts. How can we work through this? Did y'all experience this with Wes? How can I not be -1000% useless at work? Your friend in Texas.
Wait, you can take your kid to work?
Oh, wow. This is totally out of my wheelhouse. My God.
Absolutely. Well, okay. So, but the actual question here is how to deal with a toddler that is clingy.
Right.
That, while you are trying to get stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the bigger question here.
Yeah.
And we deal with that all the time.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Trying to live your life while also trying to be 100% present for your kids.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
Leads to a lot of showers with daddy. Okay.
Yeah.
Daddy needs to take a shower.
Daddy needs to take a shower.
You can either.
And also loves taking showers.
Play by yourself or play in shower with daddy.
Yeah. 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 That's a big one.
And usually the answer is squeegee.
Yes.
I shall squeegee the walls.
Well, daddy.
Very studiously.
Takes care of his ablutions.
Shower. Yeah.
How old? 7 months?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Oh, you just wait until your kid is actually saying like, daddy.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, 7 months. I mean, that's not really old enough to reason with them, but it's certainly you can say things and then make clear like mommy's doing this now, you're going to do this now. Mm-hmm. And then just walk away and do it. And I might protest for a second, but you know, as long as they're fed, clothed, mm-hmm. changed,
safe,
have things to play with, they'll be okay.
Yeah.
And you're often after 60 seconds just kind of get right to it.
That's a really tough question because maybe coming up with like things for the kid to do for a certain period of time.
Yeah.
Like if you know that there's something that will keep them occupied for 15 minutes so that you can get something done and then you can spend, you know, then you can give them 100% of your attention for 5 to 10 minutes and then you kind of do it again, you know, almost like time boxing where you're like, you aren't, you know, I think the most difficult thing to do is to give your child 50% of your energy and give your work 50% of your energy.
Totally.
Because then neither of them are getting the best of
you. Because what a 7 month old really needs is like
just time
interacting with you and like playing. And
so but we have found that the worst thing that you can do is to try to juggle both at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, in a two parent setting will like alternate where mm-hmm. one person will hang out with the child and the other person will do their thing mm-hmm. and then switch.
Mm-hmm. Because we have kids that we have found need 100% of our attention.
Yeah.
There are kids out there who can kind of play by themselves. And Wes is starting to get there, but they definitely need our attention. And so yeah, that's something that has worked for us is to you know, kind of juggle our time that way, giving our work 100% attention and knowing that our kid is safe with somebody else mm-hmm. or with a task and then giving our kid 100% attention and kind of filling up their bucket with like mommy daddy time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then
interactivity.
Yeah.
You know, energy, toys and reading books. Yeah.
Just, you know, sparking their imagination and then going back to.
I definitely, because Finn will be, this was more when you were breastfeeding at night and sleeping in the morning, right? Mm-hmm, so I would mm-hmm. take care of Finn and Wes at the same time. And that's obviously tough for anyone.
Right.
But like the way I would get around it was like, if Finn needed to feed, I would give Finn a bottle and then would have to kind of verbally engage Wes to make sure that he wasn't running off and setting the house on fire.
Right.
But if Finn was like relatively calm, I would like set him up with a toy or an activity or something to kind of play with.
Right.
And then focus on Wes or focus on the other things to do to get the morning going.
Yeah.
And that worked, but you know, there's only so long that works for.
Right.
Before the baby, the, you know, 7 month old here, which is probably similar to Finn in your case.
Uh-huh.
Needs your attention because they're bored. Yeah. They need something.
Yeah, exactly. So. That's the thing is a 7 month old, they just they just need you.
Yeah.
You know, they need, they have certain needs. They need to be fed. They need to sleep, and they need like attention. You know, they need to have a little bit of interaction because they're just, their brains are going crazy, mm-hmm. you know? And so their attention span with a toy or something like that is only going to last so long.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's tough. And I if that's what this person does too.
Yeah.
You know,
it really
is. There a way that you could make the child
a part of it?
A part of it?
Yeah.
Like if you can bring your kid to work, I imagine there's only so many jobs that don't work in a heavy machinery factory.
Right. Right.
That wouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, exactly.
But like if it's something where I love doing like front carrier type of stuff with uh-huh. the 6-month-old, 7-month-old type of baby. And like narrating what you're doing.
Yeah. Cause they just get to experience the world with you. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Cause that's what they're looking for is just like, they're trying to learn words. They're trying to sense different things. And that's probably why they get fussy and needy of you is cause they're, you know, looking at the same thing or the same toy for too long and they're like getting bored.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, they'll take a couple of naps during the day where you can totally be 100% and be more hands-free. But yeah, that's what I would try and do.
Yeah, really take advantage of those naps too. Mm-hmm. You know, so like give your kid a lot of attention and then like when they're down for their nap, get as much done as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dogs and babies question.
Oh boy.
Hi, Ariel and Ned. My husband and I are hoping to start some family planning and would love to hear your experience with dogs and babies.
Mm.
We have had our lab mix since she was about 11 weeks old and she's now 4. That's very similar to Bean, actually. She has always been a little hesitant around kids and hasn't met many, especially now in COVID time. How did Bean adjust to Wes when he came home as a newborn versus when he started getting more mobile? Any tips or planning you recommend for making sure fur babies are happy and everyone is safe? Thanks for creating this podcast. I love listening and I love getting your perspective on all things baby related.
Oh, thanks.
That's very sweet. All right. Dogs.
Dogs. Babies. Dogs and babies.
Dogs and babies.
Dogs and babies. Babies and dogs. 2 babies and 1 becomes a dog.
This is sort of a like where it started versus where it is now kind of situation.
Yeah, that's exactly the right
phrasing. We started with the best of intentions.
We did everything. We brought home the baby blanket, you know, let the dog smell it. Mm-hmm. Bean was very curious, very cautiously, you know, putting his nuzzle up to the crib and kind of bumping it with his nose. And it was very cute, very precious. Everything was great. And then the crawling started. Then the baby became a menace for the dog.
Well, yes, the baby became
a menace
for the dog.
Dog is not helping. Barking, waking the baby up with naps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough relationship to be sure because Bean loved following that baby around because he was covered in food.
Mm-hmm.
Covered in food. Mm-hmm. And Bean is very food motivated. Mm-hmm. He's a very food motivated dog. Many dogs are. And so he would sit at Wes's feet when he was eating and he would eat anything that was dropped. And he learned that baby equals food.
Right.
And so he would, and so Bean would follow Wes around. And then when Wes started toddling and crawling,
mm-hmm.
Wes got really interested in Bean mm-hmm. and started pulling his hair.
Right.
And
or Bean loving the food so much would try and eat it out of Wes's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Wes would get upset, would try and start hitting him to get him to not do that.
Exactly.
He's, you know, 2.
So
doesn't understand how to do doggy cues yet.
So we have had
tough.
We've had a difficult relationship with the babies and Bean because I don't think that we handled that food relationship very well. I think in retrospect, maybe shouldn't have let Wes wander around with food
mm-hmm.
Because so that Bean couldn't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that like the relationship between
probably
Wes and Bean
idea.
Wasn't so like
about food.
It was doomed from the beginning, it seems, you know? And so now Wes is always like whenever Wes is around dogs, he's kind of like, I don't want that dog sitting near me because he's going to take my food. He's like actually scared that dogs are going to take his food,
yeah,
even if they're sitting at the table.
Even now that he's older and knows not to like smack them or whatever.
Yeah.
He'll still kind of try and shush them away like
right.
a fly.
And be like, go away because I don't want you near me because you're going to take my food. And yeah. so then the dog thinks that Wes is acting aggressively towards them.
Yeah.
And then we have to kind of be like, I'm so sorry. Our toddler's not hitting your dog. He just doesn't want him to eat his snack, you know? And yeah. so,
or, you know, we've had to deal with like being like growling anytime Wes
walks by,
you know, kind of these like territorial possessive. It's like now they're both a little possessive about their space.
Things, yeah.
Because Bean doesn't want to be like grabbed at or uh-huh. smacked at, or if the food, where Wes doesn't want to be. Get his food stolen.
Right.
That's been tough.
It's been tough. Okay. So that's what we did wrong.
Yeah.
So what can you do right?
Yeah. What can you do right? I mean, some people have asked like, hey, where's Bean? I don't see him on your Instagram lately. Bean's actually been staying with Ariel's parents, living his best life, running with their dog mm-hmm. and like getting to be someone's baby again for this period of time.
COVID was tough for Bean and Wes.
Yeah, and also when it was really when the newborn, you know.
Right, yeah.
More or less for the last 6 months, we have not had a dog in the household as we've really focused on the newborn baby.
Yeah, and we couldn't really follow Wes and Bean around and make sure that they were playing nicely.
Yeah, so now that Finn's getting older, we'll reintroduce Bean back to the household.
Uh-huh.
And we will, I think, try and like just reset this relationship. And Wes, I think, is old enough that we can teach him how to use like treats and dog stuff to like get Bean to do certain things.
Yeah.
Right. Once he kind of can understand like, oh, Bean doesn't just do whatever Bean wants. Like I can kind of teach him how to do, then I think it'll make a whole world of difference.
Yeah. We need to teach them how to interact with each other.
Yeah.
You know, and so one way that you can, you know, avoid what happened to us is teach your kid how to interact with your dog. You know, you sort of glossed over it, but we brought home a baby blanket
mm-hmm.
So that Bean could like get the smell of the baby and understand mm-hmm. that like there's going to be a new human being in this house.
And I would try and keep your dog's routines pretty similar. That's a big thing that we weren't good at. Mm-hmm. Like the way that we did exercise with Bean wasn't kind of like a daily walk.
We would take him
to the dog park. Now all of a sudden that is way harder to do.
Right. We didn't really feel comfortable taking an infant to a dog park.
Yeah.
You know, just to like
but
for
we
safety
weren't really
reasons.
In the habit of doing like a morning walk with Bean. So right. then he started getting less exercise, which leads him to being more like, you know, cagey or caged up of like, just stir crazy is what I'm trying to say.
We had a very good routine, like sleep schedule with Bean, where when we were going to bed, mm-hmm. like literally getting into bed, we would put him in his crate for sleep. And mm-hmm. so, you know, his crate was his safe space. And then when we had a baby, we're turning on the light in the middle of the night mm-hmm. to feed the baby or to change a diaper or something like that. And Bean's like, what is going on?
Out.
Here I am in my crate. Let me out. Is it daytime? Is it nighttime? I don't understand.
Or the toddler is kind of crawling and like messing mm-hmm. with his crate.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Of like, here, this is my spot. And now the kid, like, you know, I mean, Wes, like, I remember he would like pull Bean's like bedding out and throw it somewhere.
Right. Wes was interested in what this was.
Yeah.
So keeping the dog's routines a little bit more, like sacred,
yeah,
you know, giving the dog your attention too, giving them that walk, treating mm-hmm. them.
We joke that he was our baby, Bean, the dog,
yeah,
and then he became a dog,
right?
After
exactly,
the baby. But there is truth to that because, like, you are at the end of your energy, and
yeah,
you don't always have the time to say give the dog a 45-minute long shampoo bubble scrub,
right,
which we used to love doing,
right? And then and then there's like the feeding, you know, so we're like, we had new routines. Like we would feed Bean his dinner when we were eating dinner,
mm-hmm.
right? And mm-hmm. then it was like dinner time got to be so scattered that, you know, Bean's eating at a different time every day, and we're not he doesn't really understand like when he's going to get his food or where it's coming from, or
yeah,
just trying really hard to keep your dog's routines as normal as possible, even when you have a baby in the house, and trying to give them as much attention as possible.
And watching them pretty closely so that you can intervene before the hair grabbing, say, occurs, or the food stealing. But I mean, it's hard if I thought we were watching them, but it can happen so fast.
Right. One thing I will say is that when you have a toddler who is starting to eat, it's great to have a dog to clean up after them.
Built-in vacuum
cleaner. There's so much food on the floor.
And it's really sweet. Like once he got to the point where he could like throw a ball and play fetch with Bean.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was the best. It's like a game that they can both share.
Yeah.
So it
the dream.
The light at the end of the tunnel is there. Second time around, we got around it by having Bean stay in a location that was better for him, better for us, and then incorporating him back in later, which was tough.
Yeah, but it definitely doesn't just happen.
And not everyone has that.
You know, like I see dogs on Instagram that are like napping with kids, and I'm just like, God, I wish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some dogs who take to babies, and then there are some dogs who it's going to be work. You know, you have to deal with the dog's energy and the baby's energy, and
to the extent before you even have the baby, if you can start to get the dog comfortable around other babies,
right?
If you see a stroller on the street, like
no jumping.
Yeah, really work on cueing him to not do the behavior that you know is going to be damaging later.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, you know, if you are thinking about having a kid and you have a dog now and you're like imagining that the dog isn't good with kids, like you either need to do something about it now, or like your dog is not going to suddenly love your child because they're your child.
Yeah,
it doesn't work that way.
Like that,
work that way. You know, it's only going to be work if you have a dog that's aggressive to children. You know, like you're getting yourself into a situation that is going to be very difficult.
We should have a dog trainer on the podcast.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Super fun.
Well, thanks for listening to another episode of Baby Steps. If you want to get your question answered, you can email babystepsadvice@gmail.com. Pre-order our cookbook today, the Date Night Cookbook at datenightcookbook.com. Stories and recipes from our kitchen to yours. A decade of love and dating in the kitchen. But yeah, it's got, we poured our heart and soul into it, and a ton of fun.
A lot of special stuff.
If you're already listening this late in the podcast, you probably already got your copy. But if you don't, get on it. Yeah, subscribe, raise 5 stars, and we'll see you next Sunday.
And life's a journey.
Take baby steps.